Hello, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm good, Lorenzo. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. You know, I'm very appreciative for you to be able to join the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So just to get started, you know, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? You know, where are you from, where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up in Los Angeles, the Valley. I spent my whole life here, except for a year and a half where I lived in New York.
And how long did you live in LA for?
So I'm 42 years old. So when I was a kid, I lived in Athens for a few years, but I don't remember any of that. But my whole life here in Los Angeles, went to Cal State Northridge for school. And now I run an advertising agency called Brill Media. I've been in advertising for 20 years, and our job is to run ads to grow businesses with leads and sales. And most of our clients are other agencies who trust us to run their advertising, and we work directly with small businesses as well.
And what led you to advertising? Like what got you interested in that?
You know, what I'll tell you about that is, I'll answer that question in a story. And the story is when I was in school, Cal State Northridge, I had to work because I needed to make money, and there wasn't enough money for me to just not work. And I felt, you know, nice little pity party for myself. But I realized over time that it was a massive accelerant for my career because I learned the different types of jobs that I didn't want to do. I worked in hospitality. I worked at a real estate office. I worked at an office that I was doing was value-added reseller of manufacturing software. I was like, I don't want to do this. But what I did learn is how advertising works. And I, through one of my internships, and then fast forward a few years later, I got a really great job at Universal Music doing, they were calling it then guerrilla marketing, but it was really social media marketing, posting in forums and telling people about the music we were running that was coming out. Like at that time, it was like Hoobastank, The Reason, Method Man, The Killers, etc. And I knew what I really wanted to do, what I thought was just cool, but I didn't know why, was the music business. I was like, this is great. I, you know, hung out with the Black Eyed Peas and Nick Cannon and whoever else, and Evan and Jaren. No one remembers them, but I remember them from one of the concerts. But I was like, this is a lot of fun and great memories. But what I found was that where the money is at and where the career growth is actually in the advertising business. And so going back to that internship I had a few years prior, I knew directly out of college what job title I wanted. I knew I wanted to be an assistant digital media planner. And 2 weeks out of college, I got a job as an assistant digital media planner at Universal McCann, one of the largest multinational ad agencies in the country, off of, like, I didn't know anything, just off of enthusiasm and good interview skills, even though I wasn't a great interviewer. So I definitely credit, like, going through those. I was on the 5-year plan at college, so I got 20% extra, 25% extra, actually. I credit those years as giving me quite a lot of insight into where I want to work, which I didn't have to fumble through directly after college.
Wow. A couple of things. I don't want to go spend too much time down this road, but it seemed like, do you feel like school prepared you to get into the industry that you're in? And is that like part of the reason what, you know, got you interested into advertising? And then other thing is, my next question is, you know, what interests you most about it? And like, what's
cool? I think I'm a big advocate for going to college, and I'm a big advocate of taking things slow even after college. And I'll go into some detail around that. I won't take too long, but like I studied business administration. Like I had no connections to anything. In terms of business, I didn't have people who could like propel my career forward. I had to do 100% of it on my own. There were no references or people that could introduce me to people to get me a job. I just got lucky. I was prepared, but I was lucky. So college, I think the value of college or university is the opportunity to demonstrate that you can accomplish something hard.
Mm.
I had a friend at the time, and he was like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I want to be an entrepreneur too. And my parents figuratively punched me in the face. They're like, but you don't know anything. You're going to be an entrepreneur of what? I'm like, okay. I guess I'm going to go to work. So I got this job. I spent 10 years working in advertising, which taught me about the fundamentals of advertising so that I can do it effectively. I couldn't have started this business as a kid out of college for a few reasons. Number one, it wasn't as easy to start a business. But even if I was that person in the year 2024, I wasn't ready to have the level of responsibility that's necessary to succeed at business because I knew nothing. Not everyone's like that. There are very smart people who are doing absolutely amazing things. But I think those people are far and few between. I think most people, at least from my biased perspective, need to experience professional experiences that can then lead them to doing big things later in life. Why do I love advertising? The answer to this question changes over time. I wanted to be in advertising because I didn't have any talent to be a rock star, but I still wanted my impact to be felt commercially in the world. So like we ran an ad campaign for the movie again, like I don't, you know, this could have been, I mean, this was about 20 years ago now for a movie called When a Stranger Calls, which was at that point, a remake of a 1970 movie. But we had this great campaign. We were doing chatbots and MySpace profiles in ways that weren't being done yet. We had pioneered some of that. We had a chatbot on AOL Instant Messenger. That's gone. But we won an award for that from Media Week, one of the top trade publications on advertising. And this was a really strong example of me wanting to have my fingerprints on pop culture, but as a business guy. Not as an entertainer, because I didn't have the talent to be an entertainer. Different parts of my life, you know, fast forward to the year like 2010, 2020, I wanted to become a better professional. Not 2010, 2020. I'm talking about 2010, 2011, 2012. I wanted to achieve bigger things. Fast forward to today, I look back at the last 10 years of my career. I want the magnitude of responsibility for my work to increase. I want to take on bigger responsibility. I want things to be harder. I want to learn more things. I want to have more risk because it's more interesting that way. It challenges me. So when I look at the reasons why I got in this business, right now it's really because I want to play the biggest game I possibly can play and take on high levels of responsibility and get myself to achieve those levels of success that come with overcoming challenges. That's why I'm doing it today. But fundamentally, I love this work. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. You're not going to see me being a crypto expert. I'm not going to start a restaurant, you know, whatever the else. I'm not going to be an AI expert, even though I like tinkering with AI. Advertising through the lens of a businessman is where I play passionately. Mm.
It's funny. I did have a question on AI, but we'll come back to that because I want to stay on this business mindset. You know, you had your friend that told you that he wanted to be an entrepreneur. You know, what would you tell that friend today, or what would you tell, you know, I'm not sure if you have kids or, you know, around that age or something like that want to start a business, but what would you tell someone that wants to start a business and be an entrepreneur?
I think it's highly dependent on the individual. I think I knew nothing at the age of 23. I had no discernible value to provide to business. My first job at Universal McCann, we colloquially called it our MBA, our Master's in Business Administration, because we had a great boss. Name was Elias Plishner. He's now, you know, has very big words in his title, global senior, you know, of marketing for Sony Pictures. He was our boss, and he created this really inclusive culture where we were invited to experiment. Our client over there, his name is Dwight Keynes. He gave us opportunities to experiment, which is why we did great things. And I know not all movie studios or companies are like that. So it's credit to the individuals who created those really great environments. So I think I needed to learn something so I had something of value to offer the business community, the business world. There are people, look, there are people who aren't meant to go to college. They're going to be tradespeople. They're going to be excellent at plumbing and electrical, and they're going to start entrepreneurial businesses, you know, that way. There are people who, artists, who are like, draw the line between genius and crazy, and they're the ones who are going to change the world, like, you know, people creating their own colors that didn't exist before through paint. You know, these dramatic things, I think it's a lot about the individual. I have a 5-year-old, and I don't know what his interests are going to be when he's like 22, 23, graduating from college. I don't know if he's even going to go to college, because he could easily be a very talented handyman. And I think that's okay. It depends. I think the credit goes to my parents for understanding who their child is. And me at 23 and 22 years old, what a mess. Knew nothing.
It sounds like, it sounds like the best, I think, kind of advice is to learn something, be knowledgeable, and like hone in on that, right? To try different things.
That's my experience.
And be an expert.
Look, yeah. That's my experience. I mean, when I'm on Reddit all the time, and I see people saying, how do I grow my agency? It's like, you know, get experience, learn how to do something.
Yeah.
Get a job for 10 years, and then they'll pay you to learn how to do their work. And when you think you can do it better, you go out and start your own agency. Because here's the thing, like, I'm a big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk, and he's like, and he espouses the same idea, which is we have time. Like, you don't need to be a multimillionaire by the age of 27. If you are, fine. But here's the thing that a lot of young people don't know. And I'm 42. I'm not that old. But, you know, I think about, you know, young people in their 20s. And I think about myself in my 20s. And, you know, and this is relevant to me now, which is there's always a trade-off between aspiring for dreams and actually going to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes a certain type of human to build like $100 million company. It takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of risk. And you know what? I'm happy with not having $100 million company, because I have a wife and a child, and there's so much love in this household. And growing up and watching this 5-year-old develop is far more valuable to me than building $100 million company. So in your 20s, if you want to go and make mistakes and make the risks and do the things you want to do, yeah, absolutely do it. But understand that there are vast and dramatic trade-offs. And the only reason I was able to learn what I learned is because I partied enough in college, but I worked throughout college. It gave me a 4-year leg up on many people. And I worked my butt off in my 20s and my 30s, to the point where people are telling me, you're only going to be this age once. You should probably take a vacation and go party a little bit. So it's a risk. And you get risk, you get reward, and we all get to choose to live our lives the way we want to choose it. That's the beauty of this world.
I love that. So let's talk about your agency. That you started this agency, Brill Media?
It's mine, yeah. Started it in 2013. Yeah.
You know, what was your mindset in starting it? And, you know, how was the journey growing it?
Yeah, the mindset was, I have no idea what I'm doing. I had spent 10 years in advertising. So the common theme, right? I don't call it imposter syndrome, because there's a part of me that believes I can do anything, just to be completely honest. But, you know, I think I'm far more important than I actually am. And I leave it to my wife to make sure my ego stays deflated. But what I'll tell you is that 10 years in advertising, I had practitioner knowledge. The practitioner knowledge is, I know how to do something well. I know how to do ad buying in certain ways that are effective. That there's zero qualification there to build a business. Because building a business is far different than being a practitioner. So I had the practitioner knowledge, but what I didn't know was how to sell. I didn't know how to take the dramatic financial risk that is needed. You run a $100,000 campaign, a lot of businesses expect you to front that money and get it back. I didn't have $100,000 to front, and, you know, I was like, holy cow, if they never pay me, I go bankrupt. Like, this is ridiculous. Big risk. So I was like, cool, I'm not going to do this for a while. I'm just not going to do this. I took a job, wasn't the best job for me. I'd become unemployable. Like I was hard. It was difficult. I was hard to work with ultimately. It was not their issue. It was my issue. February 2015, I was like, all right, let's do this again. Let's start my business. I had to scratch this itch. And the biggest learning was, in fact, mindset. Up until this point, I was like, okay, I'm just going to work hard. I'm going to have knowledge. I'm going to be a better professional. But the thing I hadn't developed as much as I need to was my mindset. And the mindset is really your outlook on things, especially when they go bad. Because when you start a business or when you live your life, when existing as a human, things are not going to go the way you always want them to go. And if anyone's paying attention to entrepreneurship, you've probably seen that graphic of like, you know, the straight line that goes one way, but there's all kinds of dips and valleys in between. And eventually you get the rock up the hill, but it's a dramatically difficult process. Things don't go your way. Things are usually more expensive than you expect them to be. But you persevere. You have grit. And all of that, in my opinion, stems out of two things: mindset and a burning desire. Napoleon Hill has a book. Can't remember the name of the book, but it's a seminal book in entrepreneurship. But there's one quote in there that talks about burning desire. It's you will win theoretically at all costs, but not at all costs. But you just have to succeed. You have, you know, and this applies not just to business. You want to lose weight. You want to build muscle. You want to find a wife or a husband. You want to build a business. Whatever, you want to have a child. Whatever the case is, you have this burning desire to ensure that this thing occurs in your life and you make it happen. Mm. So mindset, so dealing with the problems and getting over it. It's not about what happens when you get punched. It's what happens when you get up from being punched is a way of looking at it. And then, you know, closely connected to that is the grit, the perseverance, the ability to stick with it, even through the tough times.
And as the CEO, how do you motivate, how do you bring that burning desire to others, like to help, you know, the company, the goals? How do you bring that to others?
I don't. Because yeah. No one is going to have the burning desire to build Brill Media as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
What? So number one, lower my expectations. We hire, but here's the way we succeed. Number one, we hire senior people. Unfortunately, no, but it's just like facts of life. People out of college don't have 20 years of experience doing advertising work. As a result, if I want 20 years or 5 years or 10 years of experience, I have to hire people who have that experience. So a lot of our people, we don't hire out of college. In fact, the entire team, we don't hire out of college. They have that experience. There are good places, by the way, for people out of college and even out of high school to get great experiences. Universal McCann. They basically paid me for 6 months to learn the business and to not mess it up. I mess things up. I got my talkings too, but just don't mess it up in a bad way and you'll be fine. And those are the jobs people out of college need to take, including internships and ways of learning how to do the job. Now in 2024, you have courses and coaching and you can pay people to teach you things, and Facebook and Google and all these major platforms like the Trade Desk have certificate programs you can take as well to learn. But fundamentally, my opinion is the best way to get good at something is to find a company to pay you to do it and not know anything. That's basically it. But how do I inspire people? How do I motivate people? One of the best ways is simply by talking, by opening your mouth, motivating and inspiring people. I'm not the best orator. I'm not going to pretend that I am, but I'm far better today than I was in 2010, 2011 when I was 2010, I would have been 29 years old. And at 29 years old, I had a director position working with people who were in their 40s and 50s, possibly 60s. I was in meetings with these people, expected to perform. I couldn't have a meeting. I didn't know how to be effective in meetings. And the woman I dated at the time gave me perspective. She's like, you're young. You don't have the experience of talking in these meetings, but you're very smart. So the answer to that was solve it with, and I solved it for me with Toastmasters. I went to Toastmasters for like 9 months, learned how to talk. and I've become a far better speaker. So the point of that is to say there's a few things. Number one, talking to people can be exceptionally compelling, and you just get that with experience and going to Toastmasters and practicing. Mm-hmm. Number two, ensure they have a good work environment. I want people to like the place that they work. Number three, we all work remotely because you know what? Daytime pajamas are a thing. Hoodies, jogging pants, it's great.
Yeah.
I work. If I need to take a step outside, I take a step outside. If I want to talk to my wife, I talk to my wife. And I see my child when he comes home, and I see our dogs. It's great. I want everyone to have the ability to have that freedom. Number three is just, you know, it's about finding what people are motivated by. That's a very big thing. Not everyone is motivated by money. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay well. I'm saying the thing that motivates people may not always be money. It may be an hour off during the day to pick up their child. Mm-hmm. It might be being able to live half of your life in Hawaii and half of your life in Michigan, like our director of media does. It might be professional improvement. The benefit, we're a 20-person shop. The benefit of working at a small agency like ours is your impact is felt. If you do good work, it will be immediately noticed, which is why we can't hire people out of college because they don't have the experience. They need too much oversight that we just don't have. Our infrastructure isn't set up for that. Mm-hmm. So if you're the type of person who wants action, you want your impact to be felt, you don't want to be a cog in a system, this job is for you. But if you need structure, there are better agencies and better places to work. Mm-hmm. So the way we keep people motivated is by listening to what they're saying and ensuring that in some ways where we can, we give them what they're looking for.
That's good. Now I want to talk about small businesses and small business owners. You know, I live in San Jose, California. I drive around, you see a lot of businesses. One day they're there, one day they're not. But my question is, how can small businesses leverage, you know, social media to grow their business? You know, let's say they have a small budget, you know, for marketing and for customer acquisition. You know, what's the best route to go when there's like a million different social media apps and channels and things like that?
The first step is pay someone to develop a strategy for you. It's a strategy is a navigation plan to get you from where you are today to where you want to be a year from now, 5 years from now. So a strategy is like, you know, you're in San Jose and you want to get to New York. You want to get to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. How do you get there? Do you fly? Do you take a car? Do you take a train? Okay, I'm going to fly. Well, which airline am I going to fly? Okay, I'm going to choose JetBlue. What time am I going to fly? Okay, all the mechanics. So you went from this nebulous idea, I'm just going to one day in 3 days, from a month from now, I'm just going to magically appear in New York, in Manhattan, to planning out every step of the journey so that a month from now, you're in Manhattan. That's what your strategy is. So our goal with any business, whether it's our client or advice that we talk about elsewhere, it's fundamentally have a strategy. I'm not here to sell you Facebook ads or Facebook content posting or TikTok or Google or ads on Hulu or whatever the case is. What I'm here to be for you is a steward so that your business can grow and make your advertising investment multiply in the form of money into advertising and money back into your business through sales. That's the first step. Now, in practice, there are things that you should be doing. There are decisions to be made. So for example, you need to decide, do you have time or money? If you have time but not money, when I say money, I mean like money, like $2,000 to $10,000 a month to spend in advertising. Do you have time or money? If you have time, focus on social media. If you have money because you want things to happen faster, focus on ads. By the way, don't do any marketing unless you have product market fit. Small businesses typically do. Like, you know, you sell pizza. It's good pizza. It's not priced absorbently. It's priced competitively for the market, and people buy your stuff. For B2B companies, that's a little tougher. Product market fit fundamentally is, do you know what to say and how to exist and how to be so that people are inspired to spend money with you? Are you priced the right way? Are you talking about their business the right way? Are you positioned the right way? All those things. So once that's figured out, what you're really doing is then spending your time and your money amplifying messages that you know work for you. So if you have time, post on social. And I'll give you a very specific set of tactics to do on social. And then I can talk about paid media or advertising. So with social, this is what we do for our company, B2B, business to business. So I'm selling to other agencies or businesses, marketing and advertising services. So here's what I do. Step one, commit to posting on social media at least once a day. Specifically TikTok. Probably for most businesses, TikTok is the right place for you. And I'll tell you why TikTok. I'm going on a tangent, but I'll get back to it. The reason TikTok is because it's primetime programming specifically for you 24/7. The minute you get on TikTok, you're going to get content that is relevant for you because the algorithm is powerful. Now, if you are the content creator, TikTok is going to show your content to the people who are interested in your content. And guess what? If you're bad at creating content, no one's going to see it, which means you don't have to worry about making bad content because no one's going to see it. You create bad content for a week, and then the next week it gets a little bit better. And then a month from now, a bunch more people are seeing your content. So don't worry about looking bad because no one's going to see it. So you commit to posting content. We've been posting content for a year and 2 months every single day. So sometimes it's 7 days a week, sometimes it's 5 days a week. And I'd been posting prior to that, but more inconsistently. So number one, commit to posting content. Number two, figure out a way to post content with a setup that is easily accessible for you. There's a tool called Camo, which is a software that goes on your iPhone and probably Androids too, which turns your camera on your iPhone into a video camera. Right now, this is being filmed on my video camera on my iPhone. It's a new iPhone 15. For a long time, my videos were filmed on like a 2019 iPhone. I have an iPhone 13 there for different types of videos. But the point is, you're being filmed on an iPhone right now. And then have the mic. This is a Shure SM7B. Figure out the situation. But even if you don't have the right tech, the content trumps everything. Good content gets seen. Bad content doesn't get seen. So figure out the setup so you can create content easily. The point is easily. It doesn't have to be sophisticated. It has to be easy for you to do. So when the thought strikes you, you can get ready and do it and not spend half an hour setting it up because by then the moment is gone. So post content every day on TikTok. When you feel comfortable that it's good enough, focus on a minimal level of quality. The minimal level of quality can be really low or it can be really high, but make sure that you feel comfortable that it's the minimal level, and then everything beyond that is great. So minimal level of quality and then volume. Post as much as you possibly can. Then amplify that content by posting it to LinkedIn if you're B2B or X or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, but create for TikTok because you don't have to worry about your professional network seeing your videos if you make bad videos on TikTok. Mm-hmm. When I think about creating videos, I'm thinking about the TikTok audience. I'm not thinking about the 10,000 people I'm connected to on LinkedIn who are highly paid professionals who also know exactly what I know. I'm talking to people who don't know what I know. And then I feel comfortable posting on LinkedIn anyway because it's valuable. The other benefit on TikTok is that it reignites, and amplifying across the channels, it reignites relationships, which is key for people. Networks are your network. I didn't come up with that. Someone else did. But the core idea is because I have a 20-year network of people, mostly from Los Angeles, some from New York, in the advertising business, they see my TikToks and those videos on LinkedIn. They'll say, hey, Robert, good to reconnect with you. Literally people from 15 years ago that I worked with. So TikTok is a good way to reconnect people. The third thing is, by posting every day, you then become a better speaker, which is so important for sales. You get to find the way of talking about your business that really inspires people. Creative people come up with cool ideas to talk about your business. So I don't care if you're selling pizza, flowers, plumbing, advertising services, boring things like, I don't know, merchant services, accounting work, whatever the case is, like legal stuff, doctor stuff, get on TikTok, post the content. It'll be fantastic. So you learn how to talk more effectively, and that ability, those little concepts that you start to get by talking more effectively become part of your sales pitch, or become part of your other social media, or it becomes your main positioning statement. So that's social media. You post everywhere, start with TikTok. Then pay attention to what goes viral. I don't mean viral in the dramatic sense where you get 200 or 500,000 or a million views. If that happens, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to focus on going viral. You want to pay attention which videos get 3,000 views when most of your videos get 300 views. You want to find out what's special about those videos. Is it happenstance? Can it be reproduced? What you're looking for is predictable, repeatable, and scalable. Can you create the same type of content that gets consistently the 300,000 or 400,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 views? And then when that's your baseline, can you get a video up to 10,000 views? Because for most businesses, you don't need millions of people to know who you are. You probably need like 20.
Mm-hmm.
20 clients spending $1 million a year with me, it's a big deal for me. I don't need millions. I need 20, right?
Yeah.
So you're setting your expectations, and you don't have to worry about looking bad. You don't have to worry about if you have an accent. You don't have to worry about if you have no experience. You create the content that's good for you. There's also something called the curious learner bias. And the curious learner bias is people start to associate you with the thing you're learning about. Mm-hmm. If I was 23 or 24 and I didn't have parents that figuratively punched me in the face and said, "You don't know anything, so go work somewhere," I would probably try to learn about marketing and advertising on my own and create content about what I'm learning along the way. And eventually someone would say, "Boy, you sure know a lot. Here's some money. Do work for me." So a great example of this is a podcast that I listen to. His name is Edward Sturm, S-T-U-R-M, Edward Sturm. His show is called The Edward Podcast. I learned a lot from him about search engine optimization. And he's doing exactly what I'm describing. Except he creates podcasts, he has a newsletter, and he does TikTok videos. He's kind of a growth hacker type person. I'm not a growth hacker. I'm a fundamentals guy. My opinion is, do the work. It sucks. You're not going to like it, but eventually it pays off.
Yeah.
In big ways. So that's a tactic for social media. Create content, figure out which are good, do more of that. Now, the best content you have, run them as ads for your business. And that content will be amplified so that more people find you and grow and understand your business. Now, the type of content to create, there's kind of like three types of content that we create, and this framework can be used for you. There's the value content. It's literally just educating you on what you need to know about marketing. So for example, videos like 7 ways to improve your Google Ads account. Not getting sales? Here's probably why. Here's 7 things you can look at. There's pros and cons to that. The common advice on social media is give value. The problem with that is that people who need exactly that don't realize they need exactly that. Because the person who actually needs better optimization on Google just says, "My business doesn't work on Google," which is ridiculous. So they don't realize that they need optimization. They just think
it doesn't work.
So then you need to create different types of videos for those people. I call them meet them where they're at, which is, I'm going to create content that is going to express to you that I understand the problem that you're facing. I'm not going to give you the solution because you're not ready for it. I'm going to tell you 7 different ways why I understand what you're going through and how to solve it. in general. Okay. And then the last type of content, those will get fewer views because people don't like being told what their problems are. They like having solutions, but they don't recognize the solutions when they get them. Those aren't going to get as many views. The last ones that have the real potential to go viral are the ones for us that are marketing adjacent. But whatever industry you're in, if you're a realtor, you're going to talk about all the cool restaurants in your city or the best dentist in your city. If you're a plumber, you're not going to tell people how to fix their plumbing issue. You're going to tell them something that is relatable to them. I can't think of any ideas right now. But for us, it's marketing adjacent or it's advertising adjacent content. So I have a video going viral. I've gained like 800 views, not dramatic or anything, but it's cool. It's got 230,000 views right now on TikTok of a person on stage talking about demonstrating an AI voice-enabled sales bot having a conversation, a verbal conversation with a human about selling his business.
Wow.
The reason why virality is overvalued for a lot of companies is, great, I got 230,000 views, but I have people talking about how AI is going to take our jobs. Those people don't want advertising services. Mm-hmm. I get people who are talking about, we need UBI, universal basic income. Great. I'm aligned with that. But those people who are armchair advocates or armchair politicians don't have an advertising agency that they can buy off of, you know, buy advertising services off me. Maybe 20 or 50 out of the 800 people who followed me maybe could work with me. So virality is good for the ego. It's good for the dopamine hit. It's good for a way to capture attention. But a small minority of the people who actually follow you off of that are the ones who can actually work with you. It's a good way to grow your audience, though. So informational videos to demonstrate that you're a practitioner. Meet them where they're at videos to actually capture people who have the problems that you're solving for right now. And in my case, advertising adjacent videos, talking about all topics that are related to maybe grow my audience, become viral. That's the structure for social media content posting in 2024.
Wow. That's so good. And, you know, you talked about AI a little bit. How is marketing adapting to like generative AI or just AI in general? Like, do you see it being used a lot? I know you said you dabbled with it a little bit, but 100%. To what extent?
Yeah, I mean, so AI is an acceleration device. So, and this is not just for marketing, it's for anyone doing anything in probably most fields of study. So use AI as a way to give you back on any given task, not any given, but many tasks, 20 to 60 minutes. I'll give you an example. In advertising, there's a term called retargeting. And retargeting is when you go to a website and then you start seeing ads for that product or service, follow you on local news and sports, on Facebook, on X, whatever the case is. That's retargeting. The business needs to ensure that you make the purchase. So if I book a room at Resorts World, I'm going to get ads for like five other hotels. Because they also want me to book there. Okay. So that's one point, retargeting. With regards to AI, I want to write an article because I want, when people search about retargeting, I want them to find Brill Media. So I'm going to write an article that I can win, and I'm going to write the 8 key benefits of retargeting. Now, do I know what retargeting is? Absolutely. I've been doing it for 20 years, or let's say 15 over the 20 years of my career when retargeting became a thing. Would I have to research and organize my thoughts so that I can write a cohesive story about the 8 benefits of retargeting in 2024? Yeah, I'd have to go to other websites. I'd have to, you know, think about it. Or I could just go to ChatGPT or wherever I choose to go. Tell me the 8 benefits of retargeting. In like 20 seconds, I have 8 things. And that's where I stop. I don't copy the text. I don't put it into my webpage. I now write an article that I write in my semi-good grammar. I have Grammarly telling me all day, every day, about how messed up my grammar is. apostrophes everywhere. I write it, and I have Grammarly clean it up for me. Grammarly technically is AI, but it's not an issue. What you don't want to do is take the exact contents of ChatGPT and put it into a website, because eventually, maybe not now, but eventually I believe Google is going to start and Microsoft are going to start penalizing sites that do that at scale, or even individual pages that do that. So I just don't want to do that. So our philosophy is let AI accelerate the work that you do. It's like having a calculator. It's like having a good computer. You can do things, you can do more things with it faster, and do that. It cannot and should not be used to do the work for you, because that's where you'll get penalized in a couple of ways. If you're a student, you know, you don't want to just copy and paste documentation, because you're not going to learn anything. You need to actually learn something in school, but it'll accelerate what you learn, because you'll just be able to find the best ideas for you. If you're in business, let it do research for you. That's how we're using AI. Future ways we're using AI, or one way that we're, so another way that we're using AI now is creatively. We have an AI chat agent on ChatGPT. We developed it, and we make ads with it, like the copywriting version of the ads. So when we need text for Google, for Facebook, etc., we tell it we're running ads for these channels. We give it the advertiser's website so it can scrape the website and understand what the web, how the business talks about itself. We have prompted, we have instructed it to understand and learn the key copywriting frameworks and the styles of top copywriters. And in a few minutes, we get 50 different ads developed.
Wow.
Do we go with those ads as final? Absolutely not. Then we curate it. We look at the ones that actually make sense to us and which we don't like. We edit things. There has to be a human component, a human curation component to this. Yeah. But whatever you're doing slow today can be done faster with AI. We pass along the savings to our clients. We get more ads out of it. The ads perform better than human written content in early stages. And as a result, we are going all in on AI. The last thing we're going to use AI for is we have people that are numbers people, and they have to write reports. And so as a result, we ensure that we're building an AI system or a chat agent such that they can upload the contents of a report and get it written in a far more grammatically compelling way.
That's awesome. There's so much going on there. And I use AI in the way that you talk about. And I hear people say that or make offhanded comments like it's going to take our jobs or it's scary and all this stuff. But I like it. I like the way you explained it. And that's exactly how I use it as an accelerator tool, as a creative tool. When I'm trying to brainstorm, I have no ideas pop into my head. I just throw some queries inside the ChatGPT or Bard and get some ideas flowing. And then, like you said, the human component to make it my own, or my own voice.
100%. And dude, there are blogs coming up, blogs or publications that are just using AI art. Like forget stock imagery or forget making your own imagery. Like pop it into AI and you have sufficient imagery. And what's also interesting about that is, you know, pop culture consumers, individuals, I should say, are becoming tolerant. And they're, it appears to me that everyone is okay with seeing AI art as just, this is the imagery that you're using for this article. It's going to be AI generated. It's clearly AI generated. There's no question about it. But, you know, this is like the first time where, and I haven't really thought about this too much, but, you know, we have language change in our lexicon because of pop culture. Remember the 80s, Eat My Shorts with Bart Simpson, you know, that type of stuff. What time is it? I'm trying to think of the Pee Wee Herman thing. I can't remember. It's something about a watch. Whatever the point is. I know you are, but what am I? All, you know, pop culture has routinely been infused in the way we talk. But this is kind of like the first time that in mass, in such a short period of time, art, visual art, is dramatically changing in like within the span of like a year or two in such a massive way. And I think that's very interesting. And consumers appear to be all good with it.
Mm, yeah. That's awesome. So Robert, as we kind of wrap up here, you know, where can people find you? Where can people follow you and get connected with you?
Yeah, a few things. Number one, one thing that's relevant for your audience is we have an agency accelerator. It's made for two types of people. People who have a lot of experience in advertising and people who have no experience in advertising, but want to be have this passion, this burning desire to be in the marketing and advertising business. It's $199 a month on the credit card. It's a robust course to understand the intricacies of the marketing and advertising experience from my 20 years of experience. And probably most valuable is going to be the weekly coaching calls, the group coaching calls. Our website, if you want to work with us or be part of the accelerator program, it's brillmedia.co, B as in boy, R-I-L-L, media.co. We run campaigns as low as $1,500 a month and as high as $500,000 a month.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. So go check that out if you're interested in getting into the advertising industry or learning more about it. Yeah.
It's literally like it'll take you from 0 to 60 in a few months. Everything you need to know about being in the marketing and advertising business and actually making money in it. Part of it is going to be teaching you how to become a seller of media services that we can white label for you and you can make money on top of that. But it's not just how to work with us. It's how does PR play into this? How does social media play into this? What do businesses need right now that, well, it's basically a way for you to understand how to talk to businesses about marketing and advertising services as if I was there with you. It's everything we know so that you, a person without much experience, can essentially start their own agency and start making money on services. So like if someone wants to do creative work, mm-hmm. and they like to make art and they're good at it, or they're making video, they can go in and sell, you know, creative services for $1,000 a month. But the business needs ads. They need like thousands of people to see their ads. So you'll sell in another $5,000 of advertising that will run for you and you'll make money on top of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And Robert, is there anything that I didn't get to ask you that you wanted to speak about today, or any final thoughts or takeaways that someone should take away from today?
Got to know yourself. That's a key takeaway. I'm thinking of me at 23 graduating from school and my parents saying, "You don't know anything." They were right. I didn't know anything. And it would have been very difficult for me to succeed as an entrepreneur at that moment in time. But I think the best thing you can do for yourself is be honest with who you are. Be honest with what you like to do and what you don't like to do and how you want to spend your time. And if you're not sure, default to just getting a job and experiencing lots of different types of jobs until you find the job that you like, and then go all in on your passions. The last component of that is how do you determine what you should go all in on is the following. What do you do that's play that is hard work to someone else? That's the thing you should be doing. And for me, it's advertising.
And when you mean play, like you're passionate about, like,
what do you like doing?
Flow state. Yeah.
My hobby, the flow state. Exactly. My hobby is also my business. My hobby is advertising. I like coming to work every day. I like the challenges that we have. Everything's not always hunky dory, but I'm saying the overarching journey I really enjoy because it's something I like to do. I don't have the passion for crypto or creating a restaurant or doing, you know, selling products from China on Amazon. That's not my passion. My passion is this work. So find the way that you can do something that you have the passion about that is easy and play for you, where you can find it, where you can take the ups and downs in stride and enjoy the journey that other people don't want to do. For example, accounting. No interest in doing accounting ever in my life. But my accountant loves her work.
There you go. You delegate to someone who loves to do that job.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate you for being on the podcast and sharing your wisdom and knowledge. And we'll put the information in the notes for everyone to check out and follow you.
Thanks, Lorenzo. Appreciate it.